Whipper.
What we go to Rio. Big day in the pool coming up. Am I right by saying that, Mr. Fitzgerald, our Olympic correspondent?
Yeah, Emily Seebohm, Mitch Larkin. Yeah.
Six medals up for grabs.
We've got a few gold medal hopes today.
Mm-hmm.
And we did pretty well overnight as well.
I don't think we grabbed anything overnight.
Our rugby seven girls.
Yes, we're up at today, isn't it? 8 o'clock?
8 a.m. are going for the gold medal spot.
Against New Zealand. Got to beat the New Zealanders.
Big one. They're on
so
fire.
So much pride.
Team USA 4x100, you would have seen the gold medal yesterday. Nathan Adrian, Michael Phelps, Caleb Dressel and Ryan Held. Did you see? It was just such a great moment. This image here of Ryan Held. This will end up on his driver's license, his Facebook profile and several posters. he's getting his gold medal.
Aww.
He just couldn't contain his emotion.
He broke down.
So many years in the pool just following that black line on the bottom, and he couldn't believe he was in that moment.
Held. No, he didn't held anything in.
I'm crying. Face is so ugly.
Yeah, but see, how good is this?
It's like he's had a lemon squirted in his eyes.
Next to him, just having a laugh at him. The rest of the team just erupted with laughter.
I know.
I think that was Phelps's like 19th gold or something.
Well, that's why he's laughing.
So he didn't care, but the poor bloke who just, that image will haunt him forever.
There was another teammate, when they went down to the paparazzi, they had to go on the photo wall. And then they continued down and they saw their family. Another one from the American swim team as well. He started crying his eyes out too.
I mean, that.
With the national anthem, I'd reckon I'd have a tear in my eye.
Yeah, and they've trained many years for this one moment. You'd just be exhausted.
As a professional sportsman, Fitzy, I mean, were there any moments in your career? I mean, your time trial when you lost control of your bowels,
did you
cry then?
I wasn't crying.
The guy behind you was crying. Nigel Smart was crying.
There is a press conference of me when I did my knee for the second time, crying my eyes out.
Tommy, can we get that?
You've got to try and find that, Tom.
I'm onto it.
You might have to find that in Adelaide, actually, because that was, I've been trying to find it for years because we wanted to have a laugh at it as well. I'm crying my eyes out, sir.
I think it's cute. My dad cries all the time.
Does
it's he? Okay for, yeah, jeez. Anything you can, anytime you know someone sings the national anthem,
at
school when
we used
to get an award
or when
for
he's
something.
Just looking at Hammo, his son.
Son thinking, what happened and why are you getting home at this time of the morning? He's out the front crying again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good luck to Australia in the pool, 13-24-10. When was the moment where you just lost control? I want to know where you were and if it was for something silly now that you look back on it. That makes the story even better.
What do you cry about? You know, and there's a lot of tradies. I mean, you know, you're up early as well. Don't be afraid to give us a call, fellas. 13-24-10. Did you ever cry over something recently?
It means more when it comes from a man. Mason in Glenwood, when did you lose it, mate?
Hey, mate, how's it going?
Yeah, good, Mace. It's all right. You don't have to cry, mate. You okay?
I was just on the way to Gosford about an hour and a half away for work one morning, and there was traffic, and I just broke down.
What was going through your mind, Mason? Did you watch something sad the night before, or you just realised who you are and where you were in life?
Just realised I'm too early in the morning for this crap.
Did you quit your job that day, Mason?
No, I was thinking about it.
Do you know what? I think everyone has a job at some stage in their life where you break down and cry.
Oh, yeah.
I did that when I was taking nails out of pieces of timber at Colony Furniture.
Yep.
And I used to go to the toilet. There was one toilet, Sarah, for 20 guys.
No way.
And they used to play a competition with because there was sawdust everywhere, they used to get big boogers. So they put boogers up on the wall, and I remember one day just sitting in the toilet going, my life, I'm taking nails out of timber and I'm sitting in a toilet looking at boogers, and I started crying.
That's fair, mate. My job was crushing boxes, my first job as a young kid, and I would go to the back of the chemist and the chemist would just point to me and say, crush him, big guys. And the fat kid would roll out the back door to his pile of boxes and start smashing them.
So they would just bring boxes out the back and you just have to lay on them.
Roll around.
He'd strap my arms down and just push me over.
Jason in Padstow, when did you lose it, Jase?
Hey, guys, good morning. How are you?
Good. Yeah, really well, Jase.
Mate, after my divorce, about 6 months after that, I had a mate over and he wants to watch the wedding video. So, I had a bit of a ball.
What sort of a mate comes over and says, let's watch your wedding video of your wedding that didn't last?
I'd do that.
Yeah, it's worth occurring, is it?
Of course it is. Jace, if that's all you're after.
You're a liar, Jace.
727 is all yours,
and
buddy.
And in the split, what bloke takes the video? Yeah, Jace. So good try, Jace.
Jace has never been married in his life. He just wanted a key ring. Well done, son. Now, I just did a call out for tradies before, and I want another one now. I want to know how you warm up for work, because I'm really worried about you guys. And, you know, it may not seem like the most blokey or masculine thing to do on your smoko, but physiotherapists are now urging tradies across the nation to crack out their TheraBands and also indulge in a little bit of on-site stretching. This is because 1 in 5 tradies will injure themselves at work, and they want to minimise these shocking statistics, mm-hmm. because blokes don't warm up.
No, you don't.
And you're on your knees all the time, fellas, and your back's stuffed. I'm really worried about the tradies these days. Is there anyone out there doing a little bit of yoga?
So, what, these days the modern-day tradie just turns up and then the foreman on site says, boys... Before you get your tools out of the car, I'm just going to put this music on here. Roll out your yoga mats, everyone in the back garden. Downward dog stretching, arms roll the shoulder.
Is that what you did in your building degree?
We did not, sir. We broke our back, so we didn't have to do yoga.
From the downward dog into the wolf whistle. Okay. We've got a good-looking girl walking past.
Now stand up and have your meat pie and your can of V.
It doesn't have to be Pilates, mate. Oh, okay. It can be stretching.
Yep.
Do you guys... I want to know what your warm-up is, and it could be funny, like, is you stretching a packet of salt and vinegar chips and a Red Bull?
What does a tradie have for breakfast then in 2014?
How do you warm up in the morning? Because physios are going... The amount of pressure that these guys put on their knees, their lower backs, it really stuffs them, sir.
Well, there'd be a lot of workers' comp claims, I imagine, in this industry because of the heavy-duty labour, so it's not a bad idea. So what they're saying, get out of your ute and grab a TheraBand. Is that what they're called?
Yep.
They're those stretchy bits of rubber,
Why don't you throw in a massage at the end of the day? Before we knock off half an hour beforehand, a whole lot of masseuses arrive on site and just give you a rub down. So by the time you get home at 3:30.
Do you know what I actually like doing? I like laying on the ground with my chest on the ground and I get the boys just to... tread on my back.
Oh, so send a whole lot of kids onto building sites to walk on builders, tradies.
And just to walk on tradies' back.
This is getting weird.
Lee in Penrith, how do you warm up for work, Lee?
Yeah, mate, me and the boys round up some timbers and light a fire, stand around and get nice and tasty.
That's not bad.
Okay, just to warm the body.
Do you do some stretches while you're warming up, Lee? No?
Nah, we just stand in front of each other and tell each other how cold it is.
Yeah.
What does your boss think about that as the start of the day, Lee?
I am the boss.
We've been here for 8 hours, Lee. Shouldn't we do something?
Hey, Lee, just before you go as well, what do you have for breakfast, mate, every single day? Tradies breakfast.
2 chili beef cheese fries and a Red Bull.
Bang, there it is.
Oh, a chili beef for breakfast. That's intense.
Stay out of the toilet if Lee's been in there. That'll be my first tip. Isaac, welcome to the show. How do you warm up?
Yeah, me and the boys stand around for half an hour and warm up every morning.
What, are you stretching or standing around?
Bit of gum stretching.
So you get there early, Scotty, wait for the boss to rock up and you boys just have a bit of a chat and what are you...
No, we don't get there early. I get there 7 o'clock on the dot.
And then what do you have for breakfast, Isaac?
Every morning, coffee, ham and cheese croissant and apple juice.
You beauty. That'll do it, Isaac.
See, that's the fuel in the tank.
Well, do you know what? Get rid of the physiotherapist. Yeah. I think we need to get in a dietitian because these blokes.
I think they're doing all right.
Red Bull needs to focus on tradies, mate.
Extreme tradies.
Scotty in St. Mary's, how do you warm up, Scotty?
Morning, boys. How we going?
Good, Scotty. Mate.
Good.
Right now, we're hooking into a couple of schnitzel and gravy rolls, and we've got 2 500ml each.
Oh, wow.
I mean, every now and then on the way home from work, we stop in for a massage too, but that usually comes with a happy ending.
All right, Scotty. And that's a standard day for Scotty on the tools.
Well, when you have lower back problems like that, sir, sometimes you need to get a massage. God, it's just...
Scotty's day starts on the tools and ends on the tools.
I'm serious. I'm serious. Let's not worry about the physios. Let's get a dietitian in for tradies. Because when you're smashing schnitzel and gravy rolls... That is ridiculous. This is pretty sad. It's a funeral. 87-year-old Neil Murphy.
Rest in peace, Neil.
This was up in Queensland at the St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Corinda.
What happened to Neil?
Well, see, the organist was playing at the time and, you know, a few people were getting up and saying a few words about Neil. And then a couple of 15-year-old kids, two Brisbane teenagers, walked into the church and made a bit of a ruckus.
Don't do that.
Why?
So what are you doing in here?
Were they cousins, were they?
No, grandchildren.
They got
no
cut out of the will?
No relation to
they
Neil.
They cracked it.
They both had their phones up, and they were trying to catch a Pikachu.
There's Pikachu in the coffin.
Yeah. Now, I don't know why Pokemon Go is taking them into Neil's funeral.
Yeah.
His last goodbye, his last hurrah. Yeah. But that's where they ended up.
What if it was one of his final wishes for everyone to have such fun at his funeral? Yeah. He wanted games and laughter.
I'd be highly surprised as an 80-plus man that his final wish would be Pokemon.
I want someone on the organ. Mm-hmm. I want all my family members there. Yep. Guys, I want you to celebrate my life. And also, I want you to get to level 7 on Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that is my wish. And like I've been encouraging, and even if it is a funeral, that's why we should all carry a couple of spare water bombs on us.
Can I just...
Water bomb a Pokemon player.
Whippa, you do not water bomb at a
funeral.
It's my
campaign. Clive Palmer would get behind
us. We have been talking about death quite a bit lately, haven't we?
That's okay. You got to celebrate death. It's not all sad.
This is another one I want to bring up. A granddaughter has documented the last few weeks of her grandfather's life by sticking a camera in his face. So, Sarah, here we go. This is 2 weeks before his death.
Show me.
And she actually says that's there. He's there with a gun. He looks like he's still in good nick.
That's cute. That's a cute old people photo.
Okay, sure.
Nan and Pop. Okay.
Now turn it over, Sarah.
Whoa.
That's his last breaths.
Give us a look.
You know, it's not a nice time to see a grandparent.
And, he's taking his last breath, and she's got a Canon 7D in her his face.
Mark III, nice camera.
No.
At least she gets good clarity on the picture.
Yep. So what, his last dying breaths, all he could see was a Canon.
Now, Sarah, what about this one? The exact moment of death, this is when his breathing stopped. She had the camera ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And she also says as well that his wrinkles went.
Yeah, notice how all the wrinkles had disappeared. So that's how I'm supposed to get there, is it?
I just want smooth skin. We're going to have to lay you to rest, Sarah, and you can save money on your Botox.
This was an hour after death, so you can see he's gone a bit gaunt there.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, his face has gone puffier, doesn't it look?
No, he's lost a bit of...
Mm. Oh, there's the Pikachu in the corner.
And they've put a flannel under his chin as well to keep him up as well.
Okay.
And this is really nice, Fitz. I love it when you roll through.
What's the grandmother saying goodbye there?
Oh, okay.
She's got a phone up as well, and she's just thrown a ball on.
Yep. So the last thing he sort of said was, "I think your memory's got full." It's changed memory cards. He said,
"In the corner of the room." And she thought it was like a lasting present or something like that. Or he's left her some money. No, it was what was it called? There was the last one. There's the big Pokemon in the world is here in Australia. It's called Genghis Khan.
No, not Genghis Khan. He was a horrible ruler.
No, but that's what it's called.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and there's a guy that came over from America.
You're going to get a water bomb in a minute.
Yeah, I agree.
You've just added yourself to the list.
Very excited about this. He's got a new book out and on the front cover as well. I mean, he's in a bulletproof vest and he looks so hot. The new book is Hack in a Flak Jacket. It's Pete Stefanovic.
Thank you very much.
I mean, the book, Pete, this is made up of stories of you as a reporter overseas. Mm.
That's right.
Because I've never... I mean, we've spoken to you from a couple of war zones and when you've been on the job, but we know you more commonly from events like Dickie's 60th a couple of years ago. See, there's a different side to you that we see, but the book reveals your working life.
Well, on the front, when it says wars, riots and revolutions, I thought it was a book about Channel 9, but it's not. How long did you spend overseas as a foreign correspondent?
So I was overseas for about 8 years. I was in the United States for 3.
Wow.
And then... based out of Britain for 5, so that's going in and out of the Middle East, in and out of Africa.
Oh, God.
And so it was a fairly busy patch at that time.
So, Pete, did you have a pager or your phone would just go off?
My phone, yeah.
Yeah, Pete, we need you in Paris now. There's been a bombing or there's a war going on and you would just jump on a plane and go.
There was one morning, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning when, remember the Costa Concordia?
Oh, yes.
You know, the big ship that ran aground in Italy. Get a call at 4 o'clock in the morning saying there's a big ship that's run aground. We've booked you on a 7 o'clock flight. You got to go.
Wow.
Could be Australians on board. And they were in the end.
No, yeah, why?
So that's the life, and that's what's great about it, though, you know, is a terrific energy.
Yes.
And I loved every moment of it, yeah.
What about war zones, Pete? Give us a hairiest moment, because we crossed here a couple of times when it was touch and go.
Well, there were a few. There were a lot of them. You know, missiles flying past the windows of the hotels, and the bombs would be so big that your whole hotel would shake.
Wow.
You know, and so that was a fairly intense experience. But, you know, me and my cameraman, Luke Wilson in particular, we'd have some downtimes.
Mm.
And I was watching your show one day on YouTube.
Yes.
Some of your best bits. Because we're both Billy Birmingham fans.
Right.
And you had Billy Birmingham in here. Fitzy's
the 12th man.
He's laughing his ass off. Yeah. Right? And I'm watching Fitzy laugh. And I'm having a full body chortle
really?
In the middle of this war zone.
Were you really?
Yeah. 100%.
No, that's funny.
No way. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
What about the war zone at the Stefanovic house over Christmas?
Oh, I mean, yeah,
is that brutal as well, being on the front line there?
Yeah, a different kind of brutal though. You know, I had a few drinks with Carl the other night, and yeah, it's tough going.
he can handle himself.
Yeah, well, this is what we need to talk about, because we had your beautiful fiancée on the show. Yeah. Congratulations, first of all, thank you very much.
Yeah,
that's great news.
Thank
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
No one thought you were going to get married ever, so this is brilliant. But no, she was saying that Carl's thinking about organising a week-long in Thailand, a Bucks party.
Well, we've just got to keep the people guessing. You know, we've got, I think the Sporting Bets came out with the odds the other day, and it had Thailand in 2 or 3 to 1, and Vegas was in 3 or 4.
There's odds. There's odds that have come out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so a couple of the fellas are already going, geez, you know, we can do something here.
God, what do you want to let us know so we can all make a buck?
I don't know how to rig it.
No, that's a tough one. Can you take us to the moment, Pete? Because, look, I've got a big heart, and I know you're a true romantic. Mm. Can you share with us exactly what happened in that sweet moment where you popped the question?
Well, I actually went overseas without having a plan. I just waited for the moment to present itself. And then, as far as I remember, we'd gone to a couple of vineyards.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hammered. Had a few wines, yep. As you do. And then came back to the hotel in the afternoon, and you know, the sun was setting over the vineyards, and it seemed like a pretty nice moment. And then went bang, bang.
Is that
it?
That was it. And then just bang. Did you say anything? Did you go, "I want you to be my wife"?
No, I said, I think I referred to the ring with a couple of vowels.
Oh, you're too early. You got it. Too early. Then,
I do.
And then,
what?
And then no vowels.
Oh,
Not vowels.
Okay.
I kind of just went, oh, yeah.
More of a moan.
And then I asked. And then,
wow.
Fortunately, she said, yeah.
Was there a tear in it?
I think there might have been.
Oh, I was
might
a mess.
Wait,
I started crying before I proposed. It's because we'd run out of beer at the hotel.
Well, that was Pete's. Well, that's his recollection of accounts. But this is what Sylvia had to say when she came.
We were out all day. We came back to the place we were staying, and he pulled up and he said, "Oh, let's go take some photos." But I'm busting to go to the bathroom.
Classic.
So he ran inside, and I'm thinking, "Well, so am I. How come you get to go?" So he went in and came out and sort of lured me down into the vineyard, and you know, and then that was it.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
You missed out the fact that you spent 20 minutes on the throne.
Just sweating.
So big wedding, are you thinking a beach or
well, what? I don't know. We haven't got to that, you know. I'll get through this little period and then come to it. But Sylvia's having to look around to see
good
what's
you,
what.
And, we're wrapped for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Very, very exciting.
Mate, very much. And the new book, Hack in a Flak Jacket. You've got to go get this, Pete. It is available now, mate. Always appreciate you coming on
beautiful.
The show, legend.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for letting me be on your show over the years.
Always,
good on
Pete.
You, mate.
I want you to give us a call right now, 13 24 10, because we're about to meet someone with one of the best jobs ever, all right? And if you think you can beat it, we want to hear from you, 13 24 10. His name is Ryan McNaught. He's a professional Lego builder, and he joins us now. How are you, buddy?
G'day, boys. What's going on?
Mate, you have got the occupation that every kid in the world wants. You know that?
Someone's got to do it. May as well be me.
That is, I mean...
What's your actual title, Ryan?
On the business card, it's Lego Certified Professional.
Is that what you put on your incoming passenger card?
Mate, do you know how much trouble that gets me into?
So you fly around the world building Lego statues for Lego.
Indeed.
So how often do you travel, Ryan?
I'm a lot. I pretty much live on a plane. So last year I was away about 140 flights. So yeah, quite a bit.
What country goes mental the most for Lego, Ryan?
Germans.
Germans. Yeah, right. They love it, do they?
Of course they do. They're German.
What? Ryan, how many frequent flyer points have you got?
I've got a few. More than most, I guess. Have you got the right answer?
Have you got a million?
I've had a million at the various points in time, yes.
Just amazing.
The trick with frequent flyer points, though, it's not how many you get. They're bloody hard to use.
What's the biggest thing you build, Ryan, with your most amount of pieces?
I built a big Christmas tree up in Sydney, up in Pitt Street Mall a couple of years back, and was in Melbourne last year. That was 10 metres high.
How many bricks?
It was 2.5 tonnes worth of Lego.
How long did that take, mate?
It took us a while. It took six of us about 2 months.
So, Ryan, do you, when you go and do, say, like, let's say it's a Disney character and you're going to go and make, you know, one of the Frozen characters out of Lego, do you have to go off a manual or do you just see the picture and understand how this is going to be built?
I'll tell you what, it'd be an awesome manual. It'd be enormous. It'd be like a filing cabinet if there was a manual. Look, it really depends on what it is. Now, the good people at Disney, as you can imagine, they're quite fussy about their image and their characters and that kind of stuff. So when we do characters like that, we'll usually do a design first on computer and then send it off to someone at Disney Central for approval. But to be honest, it's twice as much work because we've got to design it in computer, then build the thing afterwards. So normally we prefer just to go with it. Yep.
Wow. Have you got a family yourself, Ryan?
I do, twin sons.
Wow, fantastic.
Okay. So they get free Lego, obviously.
Look at it this way. They have brought more kids home for a show and tell at our place than you can imagine. Although I got in trouble like all good things. So many years ago, Princess Mary from Denmark, which is where Lego's from, so she came out to Australia and they wanted to, the Lord Mayor Robert Doyle down in Melbourne wanted to do something out of Lego to give to her, like a gift, you know.
Yep.
So I said, okay, let's make a big bunch of Lego flowers, right? And, you know, the little kid, you know, you can give it to the princess sort of thing. So I did that, and don't reckon the missus got a bit shirty with me that Princess Mary got the Lego flowers and not her?
Yeah. Huh? Well, that was the thing.
What's the weirdest thing that you've had to put together?
I had to do Kuwaiti prince's son. I had to make him out of Lego.
Wow. So you just got a photo of him, a full photo, and you had to make him out of Lego.
Yeah, just like a bust. So sort of just from, you know, the chest upwards sort of thing.
Because,
so,
I mean, we'd love to get you in here at Nova. Could you make a Fitzy and whip a Lego statue?
Have I got enough bricks for Fitzy's head? Or
I was going to say my stomach, Ryan, might need 10,000 pieces.
I hear you there, don't worry.
We'd love to get you in. Whatever it'll cost, Ryan, that'd be fantastic. We'll just set it up in the foyer.
Mate, this is fascinating.
You didn't make that statue that some kid pushed over the other day, did you?
Oh, no, that one's in China. Dare I suggest, without being... But I need to keep the whole Olympic steroid thing, you know, the controversy going, but dare I suggest we wouldn't make it that way.
Oh, there you go. You heard it first. Drug-free Lego.
Yeah. Ryan McNaught, we appreciate you coming on the show, mate. Thank you.
Love your work, boys, as always.
Thanks, brother. Bye-bye.
Christy in King's Cross, you reckon you've got a better job than Ryan?
Yeah, I think I do.
What is it?
So we've just started a boutique donut company in Sydney. Mm. So we make and sell donuts every single day.
Oh, so you just make donuts every day?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, but see, you, like a baker, you've got to get up very early to make them, Christy. That'd be tough, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's fine. But the reward is you just eat donuts all day.
All right. What's your signature donut, Christy?
So we're Dr. Dough Donuts, and our signature probably is the 90s kid, which is... a beautiful glazed donut with nerds on top, so you get that beautiful crunch.
Where are you buying nerds these days?
Yeah, we have some. We saw some suppliers that still sell nerds in bulk. So that's where we're getting them.
Christy,
from.
I love it. I love it. We'll come out there, send it through a few free donuts through to us. Sarah from Carlingford, you reckon you've got a better job than Ryan McNaught?
Good morning, team. How are you?
Yeah, very good, sir.
I 100% have a better job. I am a zookeeper and I work with koalas.
Oh, well done. That would be.
Well done. How many hours did you have to do before you became a zookeeper? Because there's a lot of kids out there, that is their dream job, Sarah.
Do you know what? I've wanted to work with animals my whole life. I'm allergic to them. Got told I never could. I've been working with them for 19 years now, but I left school and went to TAFE.
Do you break out in a rash or anything?
I do. I sneeze a lot and rash, but I live on Telfast pretty much. I need a sponsorship from Telfast. You guys should come and do a show from out at Featherdale.
We would.
Set up the scene in the morning. We got dingo puppies, baby wombats at the moment. You guys would love it.
I see. That sounds like a brilliant job. We'll bring the Telfast. Vin in Cabramatta, you've got a better job than a Lego technician. What is it, Vin?
Yes, I work as a full-time Instagrammer. So I get paid and I get sponsored to travel for tourism companies, and essentially I post images on my Instagram account and their Instagram account.
Vin, give me a break. How many followers have you got?
I've got about 3 accounts spread out over about 100,000.
What's the best job you've ever been given, Vin?
I think the best one is, well, it's coming up. I'm going to go to Indonesia to celebrate Indonesia Day, and I'll be like hanging out at the presidential palace and just shooting photos essentially for Indonesia.
But why are you so powerful, Vin? So have you got his Instagram
account?
Yeah, I'm looking
at it. There's one where you're at Cradle Mountain in Tasmania. That looks pretty amazing. Have a look at that.
Yeah, I think it was just a hobby for me to just take photos, and I just post it up, and I don't know, for some reason people and brands love them, and it's just like getting creative and working with people to build an audience. Yeah.
Vin, you take amazing photos. Just quickly, give us some advice for anyone, any punter out there who is on Instagram. What's the best app to use to get the best photos?
It's called VSDO. That's like the best app to edit your photos as well.
VSDO.
Yeah, VSDO.
Oh, okay. All right. This is great. Vin, that is awesome. What a great... Where are you off to next, Vin?
Well, my next trip next week is in Indonesia.
Indonesia.
On Tuesday, yeah.
All right. What's your Instagram account if anyone wants to go check it out, Vin?
It's Fluffy.
Okay. All right. Go check it out. All right. That's awesome. Lego technician. I don't know.
No, I think taking holidays for a living beats Lego technician.
Interesting discussion around my place at the time, and I'd never thought about it. I just assumed it would follow the normal procedure. We're trying to get a nanny on board, a bit of a babysitter to help out a few days a week.
Hang on, what happened to Sarah the nanny? Or
Sarah,
Millie the babysitter?
I think her name's Sarah.
Oh, that's right, you missed it.
Bit of an issue with the name. No, maybe it was a spelling. I'm not sure. Let's go with Sarah.
So she's leaving.
She's leaving. We just want someone a little bit more permanent. She can't do the afternoon, Sarah. Yeah. We love Sarah, but it's a little bit tricky. So we're just putting forward sort of an application. And I didn't even think about it. But last night, Lisa turned around and said, maybe we'll get a nanny. What do you think about that?
A what?
A nanny. A male nanny. I said, no, I
didn't even know there were male nannies.
I didn't either, but that's very progressive. I love it.
No.
It's not a bad idea, because it'd be good for the boys to maybe have a father figure in their lives.
Well, you know what?
Or at least a masculine one.
Yeah, someone masculine to do some housework.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Well, I've told you the story about Liz Hurley, and a mate of mine became the manny for her family.
Oh, that's right.
Because her son was quite a gentle soul, and she wanted an Aussie man to roughen him up a little bit.
That's
so
right.
Liz would say, well, go and kick the footy out in the park, just take him outside and do manly things. And when he would go to walk out of the house with like a yellow clutch for the day as his carry bag, he'd say, no, we're taking a backpack.
So you're the Hugh Grant.
No, I'm not the
you
Hugh
are.
Grant. No,
this is awesome.
You've got the wrong idea. I mean, I just assumed it would be a woman. Like, I didn't even think about it. I mean, Lisa went one step further and said, you know, if there's any Brazilians travelling around.
Oh, whoa.
So what are you doing? Watching the Olympics and fantasising another man around the house?
See, I don't know. Because I know Pear lives with you, don't they?
Yeah, we don't have enough room. Our place isn't big enough for
that.
Yeah,
but even having... I would find it really, really hard coming home from work and there's someone there in your house that you have to sit down and have a conversation
Jason,
with every day.
Busy.
But you don't really... Like, you obviously have to be polite and things, but the kind of people who have them generally have houses big enough where these people can go to another section.
Yeah, they hide.
My friends
they're
have been
locked
one.
Out.
Yeah, and you just sort of... You're in another wing.
You have your own house.
Yeah, it is a little bit... Or a granny flat. Out the back.
I mean, imagine if I call Lisa during the day and say, where are you, honey? And she says, oh, I'm just with Stephen and the kids at the aquarium or something. And she would be getting around like this other man was the main man in her life. I'd be getting home and they'd just be sitting there having lunch together before walking in the park.
Well, if you've got a manny, does she even have to be there? She can go off with the girls. Huh? Go and have a couple of champagnes.
That's not the idea,
you
just
don't
to dump
have
the
to
kids.
Be there. You can stop off on places away from work.
I feel like I need to be there, Sarah.
No.
Because if there's another male that's just floating around my house, sitting on the couch on a Friday, he's probably going to sit down and have a beer on the couch.
Yeah.
And then I'm sort of just left out of the circle. I just get pushed out of the family.
It'll be best the the best moment will be the first time you call her and he answers her phone.
Oh, that is terrible. So in defense.
And is Lisa there? No, she can't talk right
now. If there's any attractive Swedish women that are listening to the show right now looking for some nannying work, specializes in beach trips with the dad, then I would love you to give the show a call, 13 24 10. Taking all applications.
Camera! Hilarity!
Jamie Oliver, this is very exciting news.
Yes, he's had a fifth child. Can you believe that? Five kids.
What are you doing?
I know, he's had a baby boy. So I just love the names, though, of his other kids. So he's got Poppy Honey,
yep.
Daisy Boo, Petal Blossom, yep. And Buddy Bear. I think he might have an obsession with flowers. They haven't released the name of the next one, though. But one of the details that has come out, which kind of, I don't know if I find this upsetting or not, the eldest daughters are 14 and 12. They witnessed the birth and were actually allowed to cut the cord.
Oh, so that would give me nightmares.
I agree.
I mean, with Lenny at the moment, it's monsters and ghosts. I took him to Ghostbusters. Imagine cutting the cord.
Yeah, imagine umbilical cords.
And seeing mum in a bit of pain. I wouldn't be able to sleep for years.
And all the gunk and not so nice. Justin Bieber and Orlando Bloom, you know, these pics have been everywhere of them in the nude and obviously very full frontal. Well, Seth Rogen, who you guys are actually speaking to later in the week, he's been interviewed for his new movie, Sausage Party, which looks very funny. And of course, they've Fitting. Asked him what he thinks about both the men. Have a listen.
I've seen Justin's before, so maybe I was just like, I've been there, done that a little bit, and it's a wonderful one. But Orlando's, I was really happy, good for him. And he's in great shape overall.
Yes.
And so I thought, honestly, Orlando's probably a bigger guy, and proportionally his penis still looked
right.
To scale, which makes me think overall it's probably bigger. Oh.
Do you think maybe he's given it a little bit too much thought?
Well, he's probably studied them a little bit too much.
I feel like he's gone home and had a look with some friends over some drinks.
He's not the you know what, though? I went and picked Huey the other day from school, and all the mums had the Orlando Bloom one out.
Really?
At school.
That's a bit creepy.
So they're just dropping the kids off. The kids, that's not a euphemism, but they're just dropping the kids off at the playground, and there's the mums on the netball court just going, oh my gosh, that is unbelievable. Oh,
Mum, come help. Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg, this is one you're not going to want to miss, Fitz, because I know you're a Snoop Dogg fan. They've teamed up. They're going to have their own reality TV series called Martha and Snoop's Dinner Party.
Oh, that is awesome.
I know. So the premise is that they throw a dinner party for their celebrity friends each week and they cook and put it together. This is the teaser for it.
How did me and Martha get together to do this show? Glass of wine, herbs, tea, atmosphere.
Our new show is Rizzle Dizzle Fishizzle.
It feels awkward, but you'd want to watch.
Remember when my mum made her some made Snoop some cookies?
That's right.
And he did a shout out to Claire Fizzle. It was awesome. That will be a great show.
I can't wait. I do love Snoop. I'd be watching.
Oh, this is great. Let's talk about a bit of Rio.
Hello, Rio.
You are the best around. And what you've got to know as well, there's some champions out there that are bringing home, gold home for their country, Sarah. But there's also a lot of people failing out there as well. But, you know, these are shout-out to some heroes as well. Do you know that there's an athlete competing in her seventh Olympics? Oksana Chusovatona from Uzbekistan is 41 years of age in gymnastics.
Seventh Olympics, though.
This is what happens when you come from a country that has no one else trying for the spot. You just go down to your local Woolies and sign up for the Olympics.
That is unbelievable because, you know, in gymnastics, they're usually, you're past your prime at the age of 21, 22.
At the age of 16.
Her floor routine involves picking up after the kids, which is good. But we've just got word as well, she's tested positive for prune juice, which is not good for her. And she's out. Juan Martin Del Potro. This was unbelievable because he knocked off the world number one Novak Djokovic in the tennis. And you know what they say, Seth, that you should try and replicate your preparation going into the next match.
Oh, dear.
He was trapped in a lift for 40 minutes before the match. Wow. Couldn't get out. Got straight out of the lift, went onto the court and knocked off the number one.
Surely you'd be anxious from being in the lift, wouldn't you? And that would throw you off your game a little bit?
Well, it'd raise your heartbeat.
You'd just be at the most heightened state of awareness. It's like perfect.
Fully pumped up and running out of the lift.
Do you go into round two, though? Do you go and get yourself stuck in a lift again just to fire yourself up? Ashley McKenzie. Now, she was going... he was going to be the first English athlete to win gold in judo. Right, so much. And, Sarah, I've got to show you a photo of this because it's very funny. He's a good-looking guy, right? The thing was, though, he pumped himself up a little bit too much and did a few articles, Sarah. How hot is that guy?
Yeah, that's some abs.
So over in the UK, he did these huge articles with his top off. He was in gay magazines.
He's from the cast of Baywatch and the red trunks and the abs.
He was the favourite to take out gold in the judo. Got knocked out in the first round. Here is a photo of him crying behind a wheelie bin.
Oh my goodness, he's really down in a ball, isn't he? That's not just crying, that's hysterical.
That is not a judo move. He's been knocked out, which is really disappointing for him. And the last one, I don't know if this is true, but there's a whisper going around that our 4x100 metre men's relay team in the swimming, we got a bronze.
Yep.
Okay, and James Magnussen, who was the favourite to take out the 100 metre freestyle in the last Olympics, and he got silver. He came into the team. Apparently the guy that he replaced in the team got a tattoo of the Olympic rings before he came over, and then was told, "You're not in the team anymore."
You're still kind of an Olympian, are you?
Is that
if you made the squad?
Yeah, but that's like getting that tattoo of your ex-girlfriend.
I'd say it's worse.
Yeah,
it is. Because, you know, that one at least happened.
Yeah,
there was a period of time where your girlfriend was your girlfriend.
That's right.
You're not an Olympian, mate.
And you can change the spelling of her name if you find a girl that's similar.
Just get one less. It's an Audi. I had an Audi. It was a beautiful Audi.
What do the Commonwealth Games have? Do they have rings? Or can you do something similar? Jeez, I didn't know that there's been some ugly feuds between celebrities that we didn't know about, Seth.
Yeah, well, a couple have come out overnight. So it's all started from the Taylor-Kim Kanye stuff. Ever since then, everyone just can't stop talking about celebrity fights. Obviously, Justin Bieber and Orlando Bloom. That's one of the top three that's come out.
Well,
we're across.
They had a blue in a cafe or a restaurant, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then Leonardo got on board with Orlando.
Yeah, well, he was sitting at the table having dinner with Orlando Bloom, and Justin Bieber's walked into the restaurant and sort of started to spark a bit of a thing, and it was all prompted by the rumour that Miranda Kerr had hooked up with Justin Bieber at a Victoria's Secret parade. That's what I'm looking for.
Do you know what they've got to do in that situation?
What?
Just drop your pants, like they've been doing quite a bit lately at the moment.
I think that, swords are drawn.
Yep.
The number two feud that's come out, which, who would have thought these two, Martha Stewart and Gwyneth Paltrow, why is Martha Stewart picking fights with people? She apparently had a bit of a crack after Gwyneth Paltrow launched that website, Goop.
Goop, yeah. Goop,
which was a little bit of...
she's a little bit hippie, isn't she?
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, Martha Stewart had said about Gwyneth, she just needs to be quiet. She's a movie star. If she were confident in her acting, she wouldn't be trying to be Martha Stewart.
Right.
So she'd thrown the first, insult down, and then she sunk the boot in when she published a recipe in November called Conscious Coupling, which was a not-so-thinly-veiled crack at Gwyneth, who'd said she and Chris Martin were consciously uncoupling.
Don't do that, Martha. Now she's got Snoop Dogg on board as well.
That's
she's
right.
got a posse behind her.
That's quite a posse. I'd go for Snoop. The number one, though, and this one's really surprising because whoever knew that these two were together, Eminem and Mariah Carey, because apparently they used to date.
No, they didn't.
Apparently they did.
They are two of the most different people you'll ever meet in your life.
I know. Well, Eminem revealed in an interview with Larry King years ago that he and Mariah had dated, but then she denied the relationship. And in one of her songs, she even makes a few comments in the lyrics. Have a listen. Oh, funny, funny girl that you couldn't impress. Last man on the earth, still couldn't get this. So she's sort of saying, no, you couldn't impress me, you couldn't win me over. His response, though, was this. Enough dirt on you to murder you. This is what
I do. Mariah, it ever occurred to you that I still have pictures? that I still have pictures.
Yeah, so they're the number one celebrity feud, apparently, and none of us even knew it was going on.
Oh, man. We've got to go see those Mariah Carey pictures, don't we?
Agreed.
Eminem's got to release those. Got to talk about the worst amusement parks of all time. If you've been to one, 13, 24, 10. And I told you the story, us growing up, we had Splashdown. They only had two water slides there.
That's right. The poor man's Wet and Wild, wasn't it?
Well, Dad used to tell us it was Wet and Wild. So we used to go to school and say to our mates, we went to Wet and Wild over the weekend. And they'd go, how are you getting the money to do this, to go up to the Gold Coast? Nah, Dad just took us. We drove there.
And you're telling kids it takes an hour to drive there, and they're thinking, what?
And it only had the Orbiter. and the Screamer. The Orbiter was really slow, but the Screamer had this one steep bit, and we used to love it so much, but it was only two slides. The reason why I'm bringing this up, because a guy over in the UK has been arrested. His name's Tom Kerbury, and Tommy organised Kids Fest, right? And so what's happened, he advertised... It turned out to be £36, so it's about $72 for a family of four. They've said it was a complete and utter disgrace. Cops arrived amid ugly scenes at Saturday's Kids Fest, advertised as a unique weekend full of fun. This is one of the rides, Sarah, I'm going to show you there. It's just cardboard boxes.
Oh, my God, they're all just lined up.
Yep, so you go in there, and some of the stuff that you could do there, you go cardboard boxes for kids to crawl through and decorate from the inside.
That
so
is
you
crap.
Were given a texter, and you could draw something on when you're in there. They also had a petting zoo with an owl and a rabbit.
This is like a kid's birthday party on a serious budget, and this guy's charging covers.
But see, then they got a blow-up castle, but you had to pay an extra $10 to go on the blow-up castle. Jessica Turner, who took five kids to Kids Fest, said the event was a complete and utter disgrace. It was basically a school fete.
Oh. No school fete has boxes.
But in February last year, James Kerbury, he had a Frozen-themed pop-up event that was branded a joke by parents. They paid $30 a head for their kids to play in a paddling pool filmed with foam in a hall.
Dear.
And in June last year, someone paid $120 to attend his burger and beer fest, and it only had two stalls.
Do you know what this guy should do is go down to the local park and charge kids to be pushed on the swing?
Well, that's
the
thing.
He feels like that kind of guy.
On the Late Show, they had Pissweek World.
That's right.
Yeah, on the shopping trolley, and the water slide was just some water down a slippery did at a local playground. Paige in Hurstfield, what happened to the theme park for you, Paige?
Hi. I went to Melbourne when I was about 12 years old, and we went on my first big roller coaster, which was around the whole theme park. And the guy in the middle was just standing up with no straps, just pulling the brakes.
Oh,
and we were screaming our heads off at the front, thinking it was the most craziest thing we've ever been on. And he's just casually standing there, like he could have been checking Facebook, like you don't even know.
That is awesome. We had Monash Playground, and it had one of those huge steel slides, and you had to get a Hessian bag to go up there. The thing was, though, like when it was over 30 degrees, the steel slide used to heat up so much. You'd go down the Hessian bag, but if you came off, you would just instantly take skin off. It would burn skin off of your elbows. And kids would be crying down the bottom of it. There was no insurance, no one around, and people were just getting hurt left, right, and centre.
Well, you should rock up now and charge kids for that.
That's
Let's
right.
get some sacks and hit the park.
Kids would love that now. Pedestrian TV, it's a great website. They've given us five Facebook users that we should probably control or delete out of our lives altogether.
Yeah, I agree with lists like this because there are some people who just really grate you. Every time you flick onto Facebook, you think, oh, another picture from you.
Well, I've got a great system for it, but I want to hear the list first because these will fall into it.
Well, they're saying to get rid of all of these five types of users, but I want you guys to pick the worst one for you. All the right. First one is the public display of Facebook affectioners, PDFAs. Who are in a new relationship.
And also, those in the room, put your hand up if it means you're going to have to defriend yourself. Guilty, one from one.
You're terrible at this. You love putting up a picture of you and Bronte, and
yes.
I think it's very cute, so I don't mind those. That's nice.
So I'm
new
staying
love.
With you, but
you
Fitz has been me. Okay.
Do you put any up of Gary?
No, I haven't put any up of Gary.
Ooh, okay, Sarah, you're still on my Facebook page. The many mums of Facebook.
Oh. Yes.
Okay, now that could be... And you know what? It could be dads as well. And I'm guilty of this, is just putting up too many photos of your kids.
Photos
your
of
babies.
Your kids and photos of you with the dog filter from Snapchat are equally disinteresting to everyone but yourself.
Okay, you can lock that one in. What about this one, the club promoter? This is a pretty good one. Because, you know, these are the ones that go out there and they're also a DJ in training and they're also telling you how big a night they're going to have and how hungover they are the next day.
You feel exhausted for them. You just look at it and think, oh, your life is too tiring, forget it.
It's so cool though, being like mid-30s and hungover on a Sunday. God, you're awesome.
But you don't have to tell us about it, mate. So you fit two of these users already. The vegan activists.
Yes.
Someone who is a vegan but then has to show you what they are eating and how good it is for them.
Or someone who's newly started a diet also falls into this category and they've discovered organic food or something. They're all in the same boat because they just put up photos of bowls of healthy food. I'm not interested.
Or the one friend that you have on Facebook, this is the last one, who's the politically incorrect troll. Who just goes on there and says some awful stuff about every post that everyone puts up.
No, I love that person. I love them. They're really my favourite friends.
Same with, to continue the list, people who are in the middle of a run of days of something. Yes. There's 22 days of push-ups at the moment. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do it on your own.
Sorry, you
or
do 80 that.
Days of... Yeah, well, I mean, just... got the ring. But I'll tell you the best way to know if you wanted to friend someone. Yeah. And this was a system that I've used for the past year. It works really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shows on people's birthdays each day who it is.
Yes. Yes.
If you don't want to wish them a happy birthday, if you don't want to take 2 seconds to write two words on their page, you have to unfriend them because you clearly do not care at all about them. Plus, they're so overwhelmed by other happy birthday messages, they don't notice they're one friend less.
So
on their birthday,
really
unfriend people you don't want to write happy birthday
to. You haven't
to.
Done this yet. Sarah, you've done it once already. But so like on your wedding day, you know when you sit down, well, you will experience this the next day.
You might experience
you sit down with your partner and you see how much you got from each individual person as a wedding present. Do you do that every year on your birthday
reference who wrote and who's there, man. And then they're gone if they haven't.
That is too stressful. But I think out of the room here, all right, people that fit that mould on any of those users, Matt DeGroote, we're unfollowing you because you're PDA-er and you're also...
You talk about fitness.
You're a night
promoter. You put out PDAs. Yeah, your night's out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You're a punish on social media.
And if we don't wish you a happy birthday, you get rid of us. You can go and get stuff to good.
Fitzy and Whipper.